Welcome to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, episode number 2. Today we're going to be covering Deep Throat and Squeeze from season 1. My name's Andrew Brooker, I'm hosting, and with me is Mr. Baz Greenland. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good to have you on. So yeah, so we've kind of been given the short straw here, mate. We're taking on the second ever of these Podwatches.
Absolutely.
And with Tony's one episode and an explanation, I'm kind of hoping that we don't mess it all up for him now.
That's fine. We've got a couple of pretty good episodes to start on, though, which is good.
We have. We've got some very good episodes. A couple of my favourites, actually. I'd done both of these episodes with Tony as season one episodes on the X-Cast, and I adore them. The more I watch them as well, the more I like them. So,
absolutely, yeah.
So I'm quite happy that we're talking this. Should we just dive straight in and crack on with the first episode?
Why not? Let's do it.
Okay, so we're gonna start off talking season one, episode 2, and that's Deep Throat. It was written by Chris Carter and directed by Daniel Sackheim, and it aired on September 17th, 1993. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I started watching X-Files back during the BBC Two airings of season 2, so I've been near since the beginning of this one.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been far behind you.
Yeah, a long, long time ago now.
So this is a... It was, outside of the pilot, it was probably the first mythology episode, and I don't know about you, but I look at this episode and it feels like an extension to the pilot instead of a whole new episode. It works better as you watch episodes 1 and 2 together, for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that comes here that really does kind of... the themes established here kind of run for the rest of the series, and it almost is like the second part of a pilot. Definitely, particularly of Deep Throat himself, is quite a pivotal character. I think between that and the whole, we've had the tease of aliens, but this is the first one, I think, when you really get a sense that the military and the government are working with alien technology as well, and they're kind of aware of it. So yeah, it's definitely got that kind of a vibe of the kind of aliens and humans kind of working together in the shadows.
Oh yeah, it took a lot of the ideas that we had in the first one and expanded on them. Gives a lot of new ideas that, like you say, would go through the rest of the next 9, now 10 seasons. But it's called Deep Throat. It introduced us to Jerry Harding's character, Deep Throat, who, while he was only in it for one season, was, outside of Mulder and Scully, probably the most pivotal character for the first season.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I think he remains, even in the late... He does pop up occasionally, but... I mean, you've got the big characters like Skinner and characters like Doggett later on, but really, if you think about the peripheral characters, he's always remembered, even though he's only in one season. He's such an important character. I think he and Jerry Harding is so good at playing the role. It's kind of mysterious, kind of slightly likable, but he's got his kind of dangerous edge to it that you don't know about as well. That he made such a good impression, I think, that you do remember him as his kind of major character in the X-Files, even though he said he was only around regularly for one season.
It is bizarre as well, because I'm sure you do as well. I binge the X-Files from start to finish quite a bit. So once, sometimes twice a year, depending on how busy I am.
They're quite out of time, but yeah, I've certainly worked my way through it quite a few times. So.
I love it. It's one of those ones I go, I've got nothing to watch. X-Files. And that's it. Once I start, you know, the first two or three episodes, nothing else gets watched until I'm done. But you always, with Deep Throat, you always forget just how quickly he's gone. And you will get two or three episodes away from the season finale and go, oh wow, he has done so much and he's got so much left to do, and yet he's going to be gone before this season's over.
Absolutely, and I think even with the characters that replaced him, they had to say, obviously Mr. X is the major one, but I think, I mean, I do love Mr. X, but I think none of Mulder's kind of performance really worked as well as Deep Throat, I think. Really.
No.
He was still the original one. He was the best.
Oh yeah, he had such a presence on screen. Every time he was on, even for the little snippets that he was on occasion, he was so good. And yeah, one of my favourite characters, hands down. A little bit about the episode. Obviously, we said that this is where we get Deep Throat, and we get a lot of the ongoing themes for the episode. What would you say were your favourite bits of this episode then, mate?
Oh, there's quite a few really. I guess, I mean, it's quite a simple episode, particularly in terms of the later ones. You know, it almost seems quite quaint in terms of the events that happen, but I think it's just there are scenes, you know, it's just seeing Mulder and Scully working together, and I think what's really good is the second episode, and you start off with this kind of slightly sarcastic, slightly still getting to know each other relationship, but you already see the traits in this episode that really follow through to the end of the series. So Mulder goes rogue, goes after searching for UFOs on his own. He gets captured, and you already the one of my kind of favourite moments actually is Scully when realising he's captured, realising this report that's been hanging around is actually this secret military official. She goes full force, takes him hostage, and basically gets Mulder out. And it's that kind of passion and dedication to each other that I was quite surprised when I watched it again how early they actually do establish that. And I think just seeing the two traits of the characters, Mulder's passion and her kind of dedication to helping him, even when she doesn't believe, is a really, really good part. So I think definitely that scene when Scully kind of sort of snaps and gets Mulder out of the military combo where he's been in prison is a really, really good scene.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favourite bits of this episode as well, actually. That and I remember when I first recorded the episode with Tony for the full season one X-Class episodes, mm-hmm. and that was when he was doing his five questions of X. So what's your favourite line? What's your favourite moment in the series? And my actual favourite moment in the entire series is in this episode. And it's when Deep Throat and Mulder are talking to each other at the end, and Deep Throat looks at him and just says, "Oh, Mr. Mulder, they've been here for a very long time."
Yeah, that's a great line. Yeah.
It's so perfectly delivered, and like I say, when you watch it as the end of a two-part pilot, it's the perfect way to start what is going to turn into 10 seasons of not necessarily great television, but very, very good television for the most part.
I think in terms of other stuff there, I mean, it's a difficult because it's kind of, it feels a bit quaint in some ways compared to what happens later, but like the scenes when they're watching the UFOs kind of dance in the sky is a really nice scene, you know, and it's kind of, it feels like Scully's real first proper exposure to something slightly out there. I mean, it could easily be just a military experimental aircraft at this point, but I do like that, you know, that scene where they share that moment together as the UFOs kind of fly in the skies are really good, definitely.
Yeah, that and the, because we get we get a celebrity spot, obviously, don't we? A very, very young, oh, damn, I didn't write his name down.
Seth Green,
thank you, damn.
Yeah, Hippie Seth, I absolutely love Hippie Seth Green, yeah, it's really great. He's a really great, fun character as well. Yeah, no, it's great to see him. Yeah, and that's what's nice about watching X-Files. You see all these kind of celebrity cameos, everything from Seth Green to Michael Bublé pops up later on. It's random how he always people are in it. So, but yeah, Seth Green is definitely really one of the great early kind of cameo roles.
Yeah, basically, I mean, the episode's got its fair share of not quite so good bits as well.
I guess it's a bit slow at times, and I think it's the investigation to the I can't remember how to pronounce the name, Budja or something.
Budahast.
Budahast. That's it.
Couldn't remember Seth Green. I could remember Budahast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite an interesting name, I guess. I mean, it's all right as a mystery, but it doesn't feel meaty enough.
No.
To kind of really get them involved, but again, it's early days. It's the beginning of the show, so.
Forgive it a lot because it's only the second episode of the show and they haven't found their feet yet. There is a lot that you let it get away with.
True, but I still think it's almost as good as the pilot as well. I think they've both got both Deep Throat and the pilot are good episodes of the X-Files in their own right. Even though they're not, with some shows, the beginning's a bit hokey and a bit. And you just have to go with it, and then it gets better. I think they do. The X-Files comes out really strong, and the pilot resets things up, and the SA Deep Throat is the second pilot, really kind of establishes a lot of the motifs later in the series. So it's still, I'd say, a good episode, but overall.
Oh yeah, overall, it's one of my favourites still, and I do gladly, like, every time. It's one of those episodes that starts my binge off very well, because you have the pilot and then that, and then the episode we're about to talk about, Squeeze.
Yeah,
and it's such a great way to start. Not many TV shows now get to start with that quality of first three episodes.
No, not at all. No, yeah. Should we move on to Squeeze then?
Well, yes. We mentioned it now, so we'll we'll move on to our second episode for today, and that is Squeeze.
So, yeah, which is just an amazing episode, I think.
Oh, even, I've probably
Squeeze is one of those episodes. If I say there's any one episode of The X-Files I've watched more than any other, it's probably Squeeze. And I watched it in advance to talk about it now, and I think it was the second time I've watched it in the last couple of years. And I almost know every line now, but it's still such an amazing episode. Everything about it is so well put together.
It's funny you should say that, because the guy that directed it, Harry Longstreet, his name was. Right. It's the only episode of The X-Files he's ever directed, and the story that came out of it was that he was booted off the episode for creative differences, which is why there's a few kind of weirdly edited shots in it where they had to kind of stretch things out and fill things in where nothing had been filmed for it. And there was...
Okay.
Yeah, it was... I think that's the only X-Files episode I can recall reading that was a thing. But I suppose, you know, early on, you get, you know, again, finding your foot in, finding a good director or two, this guy just didn't work out. But it was written by what, you know, they became seasoned writers, was Glenn Morgan and James Wong wrote this one. And this,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
And it was the first proper Monster of the Week episode for The X-Files as well.
It was such an experiment as well, because they've established this formula of aliens and the government and the UFO, and the next episode after this, Conduit, the guy goes back to the same theme again. So,
yeah.
And actually, every for quite a while, probably bar Ice, I think the next handful of monster episodes just aren't of the same caliber. And I think it really is quite a bold experiment to go from, okay, you've got UFO alien abductions, and you've got the military working with UFO technology, and then you've got a 100-year-old mutant that stretches through a chimney and eats people's livers. It's so random compared to what's come before. And yet it absolutely works. And it's for me, I think there are some really great monster episodes, but I'm still not convinced they've ever topped it, really. Possibly that episode like Home, but again, it's slightly different. But I think Squeeze is just an amazing episode, and it's an experiment that absolutely paid off complete dividends. I mean, it's one of the only monsters they actually brought back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those, I've told this story quite a few times, and again, recording with Tony, I told it. Tombs, the VHS collection for Tombs, so it was the double part Squeeze and Tombs.
Yeah, I had that. Yeah.
It's the first X-Files thing that I owned. And I watched that till the tape stretched.
Well, it's interesting with that one. Yeah, I had that too. But I, those 90s, they used to release the 90s VHF feature length episodes, didn't they? And actually, I hadn't seen season one. So I got the unopened file, which was the season two finale going to season three. So Anasazi, Glesimwe, and Paperclip. And I watched it over and over again. And then they released this one. I thought, that looks interesting. And it just blew me away. And I remember just... And I remember watching it as a double bill and just being absolutely amazed. And this is before I got the VHS box sets, and then I got the DVD box of the series. You know, this is way back when I had a handful of X-Files episodes.
Yeah.
On video, and it was just, it's just amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, between those episodes and a little way down the line, Home, it kicked off a love for me for the X-Files, obviously. But most things horror. My love of horror comes from watching some... pretty strange episodes of the X-Files. And, you know, Tombs is up there as one, is definitely the best, but also one of the strangest. And like you say, it's a big leap and a big experiment to go from, you know, pilot, next episode that solidifies the pilot and the military and the aliens and all that, and then just completely forget all of that and go to serial killing monster.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that is a massive tonal shift, and you got to wonder actually the way TV is made nowadays, because TV is very formulaic nowadays for the most part, not all, but for the most part. I'm not sure you'd be allowed to do that.
I agree. I'm not sure. I think the only way it would happen now is because of an episode like this.
Yeah,
because X-Files proved it could get done. If you took X-Files out and it never existed. It may, you know, it's difficult. Yeah, it would almost feel like it would be a late season one episode. Let's try, you've established it, you've got a good fan base, and then let's try something a bit different. you wouldn't quite get that at the word go. And it is, and, yeah, and quite, it's quite possibly the episode, you know, people might have heard about the X-Files and come into it, and this would be the first one they watched. And
that would have been a shocker for you, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But then, you've got to watch this alien show. It looks amazing. Serial killing monster.
Though, it possibly, if it was the first one you watched, you made expectations so high they might have been a bit disappointed afterwards. I don't know. It's just great. And I think part of that comes down to Doug Hutchinson, who plays Eugene Victor Toombs.
Yes.
And probably where other monster episodes fell, because other monsters were just monsters. Whereas with Toombs, it's a character in its own right.
And he lives that character in that episode as well, doesn't he? He is Toombs.
Yeah.
No one else could do it.
Absolutely. That final shot when he's eventually in prison, he just looks at the little gap in the door, he just smiles. It's like, sends a shiver down his spine. It's really kind of quite creepy, but it's just so well done. But I think it's because he plays it very quiet and understated.
Yes.
He's not snarling around. He's just watching and kind of half smile. And so when the attacks happen, it's really unsettling to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And he's got that kind of... He takes it everywhere he goes as well, because I think Toombs was probably the first thing I saw him in.
Mm.
But he's done so many other things since. I've seen, like, The Green Mile, Punisher Warzone, and in all of them, he's the exact same kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember in Green Mile, and he's basically Victor Toombs again, isn't he? But, you know, it's good. I mean, I think it's great, but I think you need to talk about why it's great, I think, as well. I mean, yeah, Doug Hutchinson is great. He just lives and breathes this really, really kind of slightly offbeat, creepy performance. But I think actually the sequences themselves are really good. The pre-title sequence is brilliant, because you don't really see anything. It's definitely a case of less is more.
Oh, absolutely.
And the idea of this person, and that's what's great, and that's what X-Files does really, really, really well, is that it basically puts horror in the heart of suburbia.
Yeah.
So the idea, you know, you have people, you know, could be in there safe in their homes, and in this episode, you've got person on a high-rise office, you wouldn't think anything could happen, and yet he crawls through a very small air vent.
Yeah.
And later on, is that one when he's coming through the toilet? That's, you know, really, really, you know, really, really quite nasty. The idea, you go to the toilet and then Toombs can come out of it. It's horrible.
Yeah, there was a country filled with people not squatting for days.
God, no, absolutely. Yeah. And of course, when you eventually do see that first kill, I start when he kind of contorts himself down that chimney shaft, it's quite uncomfortable to watch.
Because he crunches as he goes down, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then the arm stretches through. It's so good. And of course, that's what I like. I mean, I guess if I'm going to find fault, because you've got to be critique this, not to say it's brilliant, because we're done, is it seems quite easy for Mulder to try and clue onto what's going on. I found that he's having fun, and they get him, and they obviously... Colton's name, gets Scully and a former colleague. I mean, at this stage, she's always alive. She has a possible future. It's all quite sad, really, watching it again. but of course, he gets Mulder in, a spooky Mulder, and you get to see why he's Mulder. But I think at the same time, would any other character have deduced that he could actually be the same man with his stretchy fingertips who committed murders in 30-year intervals? It seems a bit. There's a little bit, I guess, of he makes its leaps of logic because the plot demands it then, necessarily.
It's a massive, massive leap to take. Yeah. I always kind of... And it wasn't until I started looking at these episodes critically last year with Tony that I started seeing things like that. So I always kind of went, oh, okay. Maybe he's just that guy that has read all of the X-Files. Mm. Literally, that was how I just forgave everything. So I was like, maybe he is just that sad.
Yeah. What he is, isn't he? He's completely sad. But I think because they do it so early on, by the time season 2 and 3 onwards, when he's going, it could be this random killer from mythology from 500 years ago who, you know, whatever, you kind of, oh, it's fine, Mulder's good at doing that. But the fact that you do it so early on, and you kind of go, oh, okay, just go with it. And of course, he's right. Brilliant. But it is just that, you know, that's kind of my fault of the episode, is that it does you just have to go with it because the plot demands it. But yeah. It's a great plot, so I kind of forgive it anyway.
Oh yeah, I think the only thing for me that knocks this episode down, and again, it's only when you look at it with a critical eye that you some of the editing, and I think this goes back to the director being booted off set quite unceremoniously. It's been edited to fix the episode, so like the attacks are very slow motion, and you don't see anything, which is good because it does lend to atmosphere. And you know, you don't necessarily, if it was made now, you'd see all the blood and guts and gore and everything. But you know, it's good that you don't see that. But the way it's been edited to fill a time space that they just hadn't filled yet, it felt a bit clunky.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It is a little bit clunky at times, and a little bit slow, I guess. I think Tombs is probably a slightly faster paced one because you've set the scene for it then.
Yeah.
But of course, even then, there's probably not enough plot, which is why that episode has the introduction of Skinner and the possibility of closing down the X-Files, because you have to have a bit more than just Tombs, Squeeze, Take Two. But yeah, this one, it is a bit slower. It does feel a bit dated. I think that the microfilm stuff feels a bit dated. Obviously, the outfits look dated anyway, but that's just, that's the 90s. But it's kind of but it's great atmosphere. So I kind of forgive, you know, I don't mind slow if there's you know, some depth atmosphere in it, and it has atmosphere in spades, I think. So
For sure,
it makes up for it, and a lot of great lines as well. I think again, it's Mulder. I think what I like, one thing I do like about this episode as well, is that it's just seeing Mulder having fun with the case as well. Like the scene when he starts talking about the reptilian aliens after Colt, his little green men, and they're notorious for the extraction of terrestrial human livers due to the iron depletion of the reptilian galaxy. Yeah. It's a great guy because he's just off the cuff. You know, he's just playing with the whole thing. But...
Oh yeah, he delivers it perfectly to a very annoyed Donald Logue.
Yeah,
who deserves every second of it as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that's good. And again, what I was talking about with Deep Throat, you see Scully kind of going a little bit uncomfortable, but in the end, her dedication to more of the X-Files comes through, and she basically starts to screw up her career already at this point when she kind of goes against Colton and starts, you know, trying to track down Tombs and kind of end the case, really. So, yeah, it's just good overall, really.
Yeah, an excellent episode. And actually, I think an excellent couple of episodes for us to kick this off with. I think we got unlucky there, mate. Cool. So, you know, you can follow us on Twitter at @TheX_cast and Facebook group, which is The X-Files Basement, an X-Files podcast fan group. And you can join us again tomorrow for another episode. Tomorrow's episode will be, I believe, Conduit and Jersey Devil. So until next time, trust no one.